morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're on. Thank you for joining us in church or on Zoom at home. My name's Laurie. I'm one of the stewards, and I'd like to offer you a very warm welcome to worship this morning. If it's your first time here, an especially warm welcome. Please speak to me or to one of the others and make sure you join us after the service for refreshments and a chat. Some of you will have noticed the brighter lights already. And it's work in progress, we understand, so that's why the scaffolding's still around. It may be as much as 2 or 3 weeks before it's all finished, but to my mind, it's made a big difference already. And finally, I'm very pleased to welcome our Superintendent Minister, the Reverend Miriam Moole, to lead our worship this morning. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone.
I think I've turned my microphone on. I have, hooray. It's lovely to see you, a joy to share together. And I can actually see you a bit better now with the lighting. So it's a joy to see your lovely faces across the room. Throughout worship this morning, there will be opportunities to join in prayer. You'll see that the opening prayer is on your screen. If you'd like to join in with the words in the yellow type, you are welcome at any time. We do also have children's activities available, so if you have young people that you would like to go to those activities, then please follow the crowd at the appropriate moment. It's a joy to be sharing with you today. And as we gather, should we just share a moment of quiet? And let us pray. Way beyond all journeying, truth behind all mystery, life within all living, we praise you. Salve for every soreness, mender of every brokenness, midwife of a better future, we praise you. Ground of all being, judge of all nations, conscience of the universe, we praise you. Maker, redeemer, confessor, companion, befriender, inspirer, God beyond all names, we praise you. Amen. Friends, as we sing together, we would usually stand to sing, but if you are more comfortable remaining seated, then please do feel able to do so. Our first hymn, if you're following in a hymn book, is number 116, number 116, Sing for God's Glory that colours the dawn of creation. We sing together.
Thank you.
be seated. Friends, I don't know if anyone, young people or older folks, would like to come and join me for a game at the front here. Anyone like to come and join me for a game? This very helpful block is here in a moment, so I may use it. Okay, friends, today we're thinking about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, have any of you ever played the game Simon Says? Yes. So you know the rules. You know what to do. But today we're going to play Miriam Says. Is that all right? And then I might choose one of you and see if we can play whoever your name is says. Okay. So I suggest you get on your feet. Adults and rest of congregation, you're very welcome to join in if you'd like to. So, first of all, are we ready? Miriam says, jump on the spot. Stop. Oh, just testing. Miriam says, stop. Miriam says, hop on the spot. Excellent, we've got some very good hopping. Miriam says, put your hand on your head. It's hard, isn't it? Miriam says, stop. Now, Miriam says, turn around and make the silliest face you can manage at all those lovely people there. Are they silly enough, friends? They're good. We've got some good silly ones. Miriam says, turn around, still making silly face, because we want to see them as well. Excellent. We've got some good silly faces there. Okay. Miriam says, walk all the way around the outside of the church and back again, as quickly as you can. But I said walk, not run. Walk. Very good. But you're still running. I didn't say Miriam says. Very good. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Now, who would like to be in charge? Ooh. Lots of people would like to be in charge. Edmund, would you like to be in charge? Okay, so would you like to come up here? And now we're playing Edmund Says for a moment. So tell everyone what to do, Edmund.
Run around the church 3 times.
You didn't say Edmund Says. There you go. See, they're being good, they're listening. Right, go for it.
Run down the middle of the church and back.
No, Thomas, no.
They're still not doing it. You have to say Edmund Says first.
Try and catch them out.
You want to try and catch them out? I see, you're being sneaky, Edmund. Well done. Right, I'll leave you to it.
Edmund says,
call
the
every chair. Oh, bit harsh. I think that's probably enough. Well done, Rachel, for going for it. She's properly going for it. Well done. Don't hit your heads. Okay. Next one. We're still crawling under there.
Says, run around the church 3 times.
Edmund says, run around the church 3 times. Oh, goodness. That sounds rather exhausting. I think the junior church leaders will be very pleased. Excellent. Okay. You're going to join in. Okay. Fair enough. It looks fun. Wonderful. Expending some energy. Lovely. I think as your leader has run away, I'm in charge now. Miriam says, stop. See, they're not listening to me because it's Edmund says. Excellent. Can you come back now, folks? Thank you very much. I hope you're worn out. Are you worn out? You're not. No. Excellent. I didn't think you would be. Do you want to have a seat for a moment? Miriam says, have a seat. Thank you. So, today we're thinking about what it means to follow Jesus. And often we think about following Jesus in lots of different ways. So when we play something like Simon Says, Miriam Says, Edmund Says, you are given instructions and you perhaps follow them or you perhaps don't. And sometimes you may understand and sometimes you may not. But today, as we think about what it means to follow Jesus, I hope that we think about what Jesus means for us. What does it mean for each of us to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus when we're at school or when we're at work? What does it mean to really follow Jesus? It's not, I think, necessarily like a game of Simon Says, because Jesus may sometimes give us things to do, but at other times it can feel as if no one's giving us direction. But I hope and pray that as we talk today, and as we share, and as you remember doing as you're told, or not, as the case may be, that we will think about what it really means to follow Jesus in our lives. So thank you all very much for joining in. You can go back to your seats, which are a bit more comfy now. Thank you very much. I didn't see any adults making silly faces, and I am a bit disappointed, friends, so I might make you do that later. Oh, well done. There were a few. Thank you. Rachel, I didn't notice. I apologise. Friends, we're now going to have our anthem. And today it is, O God, you search me and you know me. Thank you. Thank you so much, choir, for a beautiful rendition of, O God, you search me and you know me. We're all going to have an opportunity to sing now. If you're following in a hymn book, it's from the Oxford Circuit Songbook, number 53 from the Oxford Circuit Songbook. God who sets us on a journey to discover, dream and grow. We stand as we're able and comfortable to sing together. Please do be seated. Friends, we're now going to pray for our young people as they go to their groups this morning. Shall we pray? Holy and gracious God, we pray for all our congregation, for all that we will learn and share together this morning. And we pray especially for our young people, for their learning, for their growing, for their having fun. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And we say together, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
See, I didn't wear them out. Still lots of energy. We're now going to hear our readings, first from the book of Jonah and then from the Gospel of Mark. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and also verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Thank you very much for our readings. Before we think a little more about them, we're going to sing our next hymn, which, if you're following in a hymn book, is in back in Singing the Faith, number 660, Called by Christ to be Disciples. I think you may not know the tune, but I know that the choir will help hugely. Sing these words that I feel are really powerful, both for the theme this week and also for our lives. So we stand as we're able and comfortable to sing together, Called by Christ to be Disciples.
Thank you.
Please do be seated. Friends, would you pray with me for a moment? Shall we pray? Holy and gracious God, as we come to reflect upon your word, your words of scripture, your words of story, your words of truth, pray that we may have open minds and hearts to your Spirit's still small voice. And as we reflect on what it means for each of us to follow you, I pray that the words that I offer may be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, follow me. Follow me, we hear. I don't literally mean me, you'll be pleased to know. Follow me, says Jesus, in our text from Matthew's Gospel. Two simple words that change the life of those first disciples called by Jesus. Lives turned around in the space of just two words. Words that called people away from everything they knew, everything they loved, from family and home, from all that kept them safe and secure. Words that compelled people to follow. This morning we've played Follow the Leader, or Miriam Says. I quite like that, to be honest. As you saw, it involves someone leading and everyone else following. Whatever the leader does or says, everyone else must follow. We perhaps don't like this way of leading very much, and I think that's probably a question for another sermon. But as we did those silly actions together, I wonder what it felt like to follow the leader. We don't know each other that well yet, but I wonder if you would trust me not to make you do anything too ridiculous. Probably not, to be honest, and with good reason. How do you think Simon and Andrew and James and John felt when Jesus uttered those words to them? Simple yet incredibly powerful. Follow me. As a chronic overthinker, I would be wondering, follow you where? Why? How? Why should I? All of those questions, which may or may not have been in the disciples' minds. We're not told in Mark's Gospel if these fishermen knew anything about Jesus, although the preface to their calling tells us that Jesus was out and about proclaiming the good news and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." But Mark is not explicit as to whether these fishermen have heard about Jesus, whether they have heard him share the good news or encountered him on the road before. Mark does not tell us even if they knew of Jesus in his sparse narrative, which makes the story, I think, even more remarkable. We can conjecture, of course, that the men had heard of Jesus, this disruptor of the normal, wandering the dusty countryside. But if we take Mark's narrative as it is, there is no evidence of any prior knowledge of Jesus. Friends, this is a story of faith and of trust. There is something about this man, Jesus, that makes those men put down their nets and follow. Jesus doesn't, in this text, give them a lengthy explanation as to his requirements or to his doctrinal standards for joining, or even an introduction to who he is. He just says, "Follow me." Now, we have to recognize that that may well be a narrative device from Mark. He wants to get the action moving. You may have noticed there are two immediately's within this text alone. We know that Mark, in his telling of the gospel, drives things forward very quickly. But if we take the text as what we have before us, in the presence of the Son of God, Mark implies that these men, they just know. They are compelled to follow this man. I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you are busy working wherever that may be, and a complete stranger arrives and says, "Follow me." Most of us would think, "Sling your hook, mate." Most of us would think, "You must be joking. Who are you? Why would I follow you? Why would I do that? Where are you going to lead? What do you want me to do?" I'm sure perhaps all these thoughts went through the minds of those disciples. Yet, we're told they lay down their nets and they follow. They leave their homes, their security, their familiarity and their work. I wonder if we had been in that place, would we have followed so unquestioningly? Would we have been compelled by the presence of the Son of God in the same way? And I wonder, friends, when we have heard the call of Jesus for ourselves, have we followed quite so openly and as readily as those first disciples? I'd like to share, if you'll indulge me, a little of my own story of calling with you as an example of how Jesus can change lives. I promise you I'm going for the very condensed version. So I was brought up in a Christian family, going to the Methodist church with my mum and my grandma and my sister. I was taught all those familiar Bible stories, learned the hymns, good Wesley hymns, of course, joined the choir and was immersed in the things of the church. It was when I was about 11 that I began to question some of what I was being taught. But I was quite a quiet and shy child, so I only asked my mum. I didn't ask anyone else. And I wondered if, like the myth of Father Christmas, Jesus was real. And it was when I was 13 and we went to an MAYC event in London that I had a real sense of the Holy Spirit and Jesus saying, "Follow me." I don't remember very much about that experience, and I wouldn't say it was a great flash in the road kind of conversion experience, but a consolidation of all that I'd known in my life before that. There was a call to go forward to the front, and I did, and then my life seemed to implode ever so slightly. I was quite ill for some time, and I missed lots of school. In fact, I missed my entire year 9 of school. And there were really difficult times, a real test of faith. I won't deny that that period of my life was painful and difficult, but that experience taught me so much about who I am, about love and grace and compassion, and encouraged me to have a particular heart for those who experience ill health, both physical and mental health. At age 15, I first became aware that God might be calling me to preach. God was saying, "Follow me, I want you to speak my word." But I thought that was utterly ridiculous. I was an extremely awkward and shy 15-year-old. You may not believe it, but I was. And I thought that was utterly ridiculous. So, like lots of people who tell their story of the call to preach, I ignored it and hoped that it would go away. I kept attending church and youth group and growing in my faith, and I thought that was enough. But that life-transforming call, those words, "Follow me," just wouldn't go away. And I guess you could say the rest is history, really, friends, standing before you now. When I heard the call to ministry, I paused, I hesitated, I kicked and I screamed, I ran away like Jonah. I fought that call, asking all those traditional questions of, well, where do you want me to go? And what do you want me to do? And why me? Yet, here I am. And it's not been easy. And there are struggles and twists and turns, as there are for all of us. But I do not regret that moment that Jesus said, "Follow me," in my life. There is no doubt that that call is life-changing. I wonder if you remember the moment that you first responded, if you have responded yet to Jesus' powerful, spectacular, yet simple words, "Follow me." I know that this church, through the Everyone an Evangelist course last year, had the opportunity to share the stories of your faith with one another. And from what I understand, that was a really powerful experience to share your testimony, to understand how you come to be where you are now. And I'd really like to encourage us to continue sharing our stories of how we came to follow Jesus for ourselves. For by sharing our own stories, we may bring others to come and to follow Jesus, friend and saviour and redeemer, who still whispers, "Follow me," to his people today. In our reading from Jonah, we hear the aftermath of that famous big fish story. God calls Jonah to go and declare the message to the people of Nineveh, a people that had gone astray, a people even set for destruction. As we know, Jonah literally runs in the opposite direction and is swallowed by a large fish. He doesn't feel ready. He's scared. He's unprepared. He can't possibly speak to these people. Yet in the section we had read today, when he eventually does speak to the people of Nineveh, incredible things happen. Jonah speaks with God's message. The people repent. God relents and removes the promised punishment. Our reading from Mark also reminds us of the cost of discipleship. Those first disciples must leave everything behind, everyone they love, everything they know, to follow. As we know, following Jesus can be costly. It demands that we sometimes shun the ways of those around us, that we stand up for justice and truth, that we live in strange times. Our faith can make us unpopular, and people may think that we're a bit odd. Yet Jesus does not call us to a casual discipleship. Jesus doesn't call us to just be Christian when we feel like it, or for an hour on a Sunday. To be a true disciple is to follow and not to count the cost, which, friends, is often a lot easier said than done. The disciples knew that Jesus did not invite them to be spectators, but participants in the work of the kingdom. He wanted them to join him in proclaiming good news, in fishing for people, proclaiming together that the kingdom of God is now at hand. We as disciples are also called to proclaim the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in our time. As I was preparing my sermon this week, I had that song from Sunday school in my head, "I Will Make You Fishers of Very Gender Exclusive Men." And it's been running around my head all week, and it's running around my head now. But what does that mean? What does it mean to fish for people? I have to admit that despite growing up by the sea, I've never been fishing in my life. So I have no idea what fishing, what the process actually is. What does it mean to fish for people? When Jesus called those disciples, he had that particular task in mind. And I think God has particular things for us in mind too. Things that God wants us to do together. Following Jesus means that we are drawn together in groups of Christians and to churches. God wants us to work together to share the message with the world. I believe that God has something for all of us to do, no matter where we're from or how old we are. Our gender identity, our sexuality, our marital status, where we live, what we do for work. what we look like. Yet God doesn't ask us to follow and then doesn't show us the way. Jonah was sent to speak to the people of Nineveh about the things that they were doing wrong. The disciples were sent out to spread good news, but also to spread the word that repentance was necessary. What might God be asking of us, I wonder? What might God be asking of us to do as a church community here at Wesley Memorial and in the city of Oxford? What might God be asking us to do? But what also, and perhaps more importantly, might God be asking us to be in this place? What are we called to do? Is God asking us to commit to praying for another or a situation more regularly? Is God asking you to take up a role in the life of the church, even? I wonder how many of us have heard God calling our name. Did we respond straight away? And are we truly listening to God, to the come and follow me? Or might we be hiding, afraid, or even stuck in a comfortable place? We may do something because we've always done it that way, and not maybe think about what it is God is asking of us. So friends, my prayer for us is that we will choose again each day to follow Jesus, to wake up and say, today I will follow Jesus. I will do what I am called to do, wherever I am placed, as we share in our covenant service, wherever we are placed, we are called to be disciples, to follow the one who calls us to follow him. Will we continue to choose every day to follow Jesus? And will we be excited and hopeful for where Jesus may lead us? I pray that we will continue to respond to that ever-changing, life-transforming call. Follow me. Amen. Friends, I'm going to offer us a few moments of quiet. I've spoken for longer than I intended, but we'll spend a few moments of quiet. And perhaps in that space, you may wish to wonder where God might be leading you in this new year. We'll be quiet. Holy One, we offer our thoughts, our feelings, our wonderings, our questions before you, the one who calls us to follow. We pray that as we reflect further, you will show us your way. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, having mentioned a Wesley hymn, I think it's about time we sang one. Number 661 in Singing the Faith, number 661, give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. I invite you to stand or remain seated as you feel comfortable. Do be seated. Friends, we're now going to take up our offering for the life of our church and circuit. Please don't worry if you haven't come prepared, just pass the basket along as it comes. And I know many of you give in other ways, so please do pass the basket around. We take up our offering. And would you please stand if you're able to do so? Thanks, Jane. Holy and gracious God, we come offering our gifts to you. We pray that you would take these gifts and use them for your glory, that you would multiply them in your service, and that they may be used to bring others to know you, the one who calls us to follow. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. We come to our prayers of intercession, and within our prayers there is a response which will appear on the screen. When I say the words, God, send your spirit, would you please respond, renew the life of the earth. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth. Let us pray together. Because you, holy God, love the world that you have created, because in Christ you walked upon it, we dare to pray, God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth, to connect the words of ancient scripture to the life of the world today, to let the urgent summons of Jesus to follow surpass our reticence to respond. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth, to awaken the minds of those in power to the realities of those they govern, to confront the arrogance of the privileged with the vulnerability of the poor. We hold a moment of quiet as we pray for those who govern. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth, to engage the fragile state of the planet with those who carelessly abuse it, to let the pain of those who are hurting awaken the caring potential in those who are well. We hold a moment of quiet. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth, to eradicate the distance between our convictions and our commitments, our prayers and our politics, our faith and our discipleship. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth. And as we come this morning, we recognise there are many people and situations on our hearts and minds at this time. We continue to pray for the people of Palestine and Israel, for those caught up in fighting in Yemen, in Syria. And in a moment of quiet, we bring before God our concerns in this moment. God, send your spirit, renew the life of the earth. Holy One, in Jesus, you destined all to be changed and made new. Enable us not just to be followers, but agents of your purpose in the world. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. And we say together the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we come to our final hymn. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 664. Lord, you call us to your service, each in our own way. We stand or remain seated as we are comfortable to sing together. Friends, please do join us for coffee after the service if you are able. And friends on Zoom, we look forward to seeing you too on our screen in a moment. A blessing before we go. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead us on. From the familiarity of what we know to the wonder of what you will reveal, Jesus, now lead us on. To transform the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom. Jesus, now lead us on. Amen. Amen. Yes, please. Oh, it's sleeping.